Okay, well, thanks again, everybody, for sticking around. I'm going to turn it back over to JC, and I think we're going to you're going to do a demo of.
I'm going to do a demo of how we coordinate a show.
Excellent.
This is an actual show that I did about a month ago. We had CNBC and Inc. magazine came in to do a bunch of motivational speeches and do a whole bunch of side rooms, breakouts with TV interview stages and live to satellite. So there was a lot of TV people in the theater. And so it wasn't so much about the microphones on stage. It was about a whole lot of TV guys running around with a bunch of electrosonics gear to work around what was on the stage. So it was an interesting little project. So when I sit down to do a coordination, I try to find out who needs what, and I start with, what do I know? And what do I know is what I've been measuring. And what I've been measuring is, where are all my TV stations, and where is my house gear fit into all of that? And based on what I know, I get a really big head start in the software because I have a template. So I have all my TV stations already put in there. Now, there's some things that I can do with this list. I can say, for example, ooh, channel 14 is kind of weak, and I've got some good gear here, so maybe I'll blow over the top of channel 14. Shh, don't tell FCC. So there's games you can play with that. But if you want to be conservative, know your environment and put it into the software. So here's this pop-up that says, what are your TV stations? You check them all. Oh, good Lord, there's a lot. You see there's one missing? Channel 37. Who knows what channel 37 is for? Radio telescopes. Channel 37 in the UHF band, prime real estate, has been reserved for a lifetime for radio telescopes, and we are not allowed to play there, and none of your gear will actually tune to it because it's against the law. So in my little graph of my spectrum down here, there's a little pink bar there that says you can't play there, and it also says because of the gear that I'm using, I can't play in the VHF, and I can't play above 700 megahertz. So this is the playground right here. I have a template file that I start with at McCaw Hall that shows me what's in my rack. What's in my rack is a whole bunch of wireless comms and just a few microphones because I know I can always bring in from the shop. I can always rent. We don't keep that many bolted into the rack in this room. So what I have in this list is my main wireless comm transmit frequencies. These are the big things that are going out from the base stations out to all the belt packs. I have four channels of that, and then I have 16 belt packs, each of which has two channels of receive. So I've got four UHFRs in my rack, and down in the lecture hall I have a couple of old ULX wideband analog microphones, which are the first to go whenever there's a problem. So there's my template, and now I get to use all the great features of IAS. Down here at the bottom, I get a graphical representation of my spectrum. Yellow is television. White is white space. Pink or red is off limits. There are regular divisions every 50 megahertz or so. Those are the gray lines. Sometimes they look like the blue lines, which are coordinated frequencies. Those are known good frequencies that I can use represented on the graph. So up here on the ribbon, there's a TV wizard. I don't use it. I use my own measurements, or I use Spectrum Bridge. Don't trust the wizard. It doesn't get updated often enough. And it only does your market. It doesn't do what's across the water that way or what's across the water that way. But from the UW, you can see Bellevue. From Seattle Center, I can see Poulsbo and Tacoma. Don't trust the databases. Measure and stay up to date. And do your TV first. So one of the cool things that you pay your money for in the IAS is the make and model database. Everybody's radios are a little bit different. IAS knows that. It knows what every radio does. So the first thing that's on my list of requirements is they want 16 ULXDs on stage in the G50 band. So I just pick Shure, pick ULXD, and there's the G50 band. Now I can do it one at a time. But why would I when I can go cast my bread upon the waters and get a range of them? And it's going to sit there and grind. And while it's doing the math, it has shown me where those various Shure ULXD bands appear in the spectrum. Notice that some of them overlap a little bit. Some of them don't. Okay, bam, I just got 34 candidate frequencies. And what happened in the calculator when it gave me those 34 frequencies is, holy crap, look at all that potential distortion. And it's not even in my band. This is why we have to use the calculator. That fur is unbelievable. My signal to noise there is like 10 dB. It's horrible. But I don't need 35 of these mics. So I'm going to cut it down. I'm going to look and see what these candidates are doing. I have channel 15, channel 17. Channel 18 is kind of underrepresented here. And if I go over to my What Do I Know spreadsheet, okay, so in my What Do I Know, so where would I really like to have these mics? I like to do my band planning where like is grouped with like, because when I'm doing my scans, it's really easy to see what I have. Some of that's just personal, but anything that makes my job easier is a good place to start. So I kind of like channel 15, I like 17, I like 18, and you know what? I might need this other stuff for something else. So I want to pack these things down. So I've got a ton in 15 here. I've got a ton in 17, not a lot in 18. Let's start counting how many I have. Now this one, it's giving me a little warning here. It says, you're on the edge of TV 16. I know there's TV there, but you can probably get away with that. I'm not going to do it. If I was really up against the wall, I might consider that frequency as a spare, but I'm not going to make it a primary. So I'll just start clicking these off. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9 in channel 15. Remember I said you could get about 10 in a channel if there was nothing else going on? There's 9. It rolled the bones and it came up with a pretty conservative number there. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. I'm still in channel 17. How many do I need? I need 16. How many am I going to pick? 20. I want spares. I want known good spares in every band if I can possibly get them. Because something happens, all I have to do is grab that transmitter, sync it, send it back out. Easy as pie. I love ULXD because it syncs so fast. And its individual radio bandwidth is a little bit narrower than UHFR was and much narrower than the old non-pilot tone analog radios that we had, say, 10 years ago. ULX, ULXP, they're big bandwidth hogs. The new equipment is much narrower without really sacrificing any audio quality. It's a good time to be alive. I have 20 frequencies here. So I'm going to take those, I'm going to move selected items into the list, and then I'm going to recalculate my zone. Click, all that fur went away. I'm looking good. Now I got a whole bunch of microphones here in G50. I can individually label those. I can give them a number, I can give them a name, and I can label my spares. If I'm handing them out to people in other zones, I can put their names on them. I can say, this is for you, this is for you, you stay off of his stuff. It's really cool. So I've got my microphones on the stage. I started a numbering. I'm not going to finish it. I can go back and dress that up later for publication. So then I got the TV guys. So I rounded everybody up on email. I'm like, what are you bringing? What do you need? What are you doing? And they're like, okay, well, I got some Electrosonics in block 20, and I have 3 of them. Can I use them all? And I'm like, well, I'll let you know. So we go up here, and we go to Electrosonics and go to block 20, and then my thing changes down here. Now I'm looking at Electrosonics blocks. All of my Shure mics are crowded down here in 15 and 17 and 18 where I put them, and it looks pretty tight. But if I zoom in on it, love this feature, I can look at my little blue lines and I can see that they go all the way down to the floor, and all that fur is separated beautifully from my microphones, and I have nothing to worry about. We move on to Electrosonics. We're in block 20. How many can I have? I can have 3. He brought 5. I'm going to roll the bones again. Maybe I'll get more. Oh, I got less. Let's do it again. I got 3. It's going to be 3. I'll tell him he can only have 3. Take all those, move them into the list, recalculate, make a note that the dude only gets 3 in block 20. But he also brought some in block 22, and so we'll do that. Yes. Oh, I get 5 there. Yes, Chris.
Sorry, why is it different every time? Is this actually scanning, or is this just a...
This is doing the math on frequencies that it can tell you will really work based on the amount of this distortion that comes up as it does the math. And it's creating potential distortion based on the assumption that you might use all of these mics and that you might be doing something else. And so it starts out really conservative, and it says, here's how many we think we can get to work in there. And it doesn't lock it in until you recalculate. When you start to get really, really busy and you go to recalculate, sometimes it'll kick one back out and say, nah, I was wrong about that.
I see.
So it's theoretical until you recalculate the zone. So, and so I can keep rolling the bones and say, I don't like these, do it again. And so eventually you get to where you see what the picture really is. And you're like, okay, do I really want to push this to 5 or do I just want to take 3 because I know I got some more in the pipeline? But we came up short in block 20. I'm actually going to throw all these in there, give this guy a break, recalculate, let that first settle down. Hey, that doesn't look too bad. Okay, I'm up to 53 frequencies. I've got 3 blocks left. Let's see how this goes. We're going to go up to block 24. I got some fear. Oh, no, 4 of them came up. That's really great. We've already moved into the 6s here. We're into territory that may not work so good in a year or two. Block 26 is even further up the line, and that's really going to get into some of my comms. So these go up to 635. I've got comms. I've got pretty important comms in there. I don't like 635. I'm going to take these 3, move those, recalculate. Got away with it. Okay, we move into block 27. 1. He wanted 5. Okay, so now I have a problem because this is a dude who's in a room by himself. He brought a bunch of block 27 and he's got nothing. Now it's time to really seriously look at my list in the 600s. And say, what do I got? Well, I got these mics down in the lecture hall. They're not using the lecture hall. Let's back those out. Let's go back, try again. I got 3. Now it's a toss-up between microphones and comms. My B4 comms here don't get a lot of use. So I could drop a couple of B4 comms, or I could use less electrosonics. Dude really wants 5. What if I take away 2 comms? We'll try again. Still 3. Bummer. What happens if I take away 2 more comms? And if I take away all those Bs, well, then I might as well take away the B transmits because there's no receivers on those transmits. That might free up a little bit of real estate. Block 27. Now I've got 5. I can make Chad happy with 5 electrosonics. I can go back through each one of these. I can say, hey, Chad, these are yours. You owe me a beer.
Who are you taking the comms away from?
Myself, my system, my house system. So when the client comes to me and says, I need 12 wireless comms for my people, I say at this point, oh, well, I'm sorry, then my crew doesn't have any and the show doesn't run very well. I need 5. Can you get away with, 8? Could you get away with 7? Can you take your interns off comm and nail them down somewhere? Can you put somebody on a walkie-talkie? We have to negotiate at that point. I say, does having your intern on a wireless comm trump Chad doing a TV stand-up? Well, CNBC is the sponsor, so no. And you're going to put your intern on a walkie. But that's what it comes down to. So we've generated a show with 54 frequencies. Each of my TV guys gets to use at least half of his gear. They can come back to me. We can negotiate. But this is how we build a show in IAS. And when I'm all done with that, I generate a report out of the software that looks like this. And I hand it out to everybody, and this becomes the Bible for the event. So my microphones have numbers. Jeff and Chad have their marching orders. Everybody knows how many comms there are. Chad has an IFB channel up there that I generated for him. There are spares in as many bands as I could get away with. And this is the show. We roll with this. We hope that we don't use too many spares, and we hope that there are enough spares in each band. But this is band planning, this is frequency coordination, this is how the tools work. And some guys get paid a lot of money to do this. I just come to work every day. So this is an example scan from during the Starbucks annual meeting this year. We had about 14 microphones in the main show for presenters. All my presenter microphones were grouped up down here. You see that some of them were on at different times, so some of these are red peaks that have gone away. That, without a label on it, that is a spurious emission. That is either an intermod product between microphones and television, or it's something that was generated from two-way radios down here on an intermittent basis. But that's a little mystery guy right there, right off the edge of channel 14. And if that was any closer to one of my things, I might try to figure out what it was. But as it was, there's nice empty space between that and my next microphone, so I didn't worry about it. I just sort of took a note. I had 9 drummer mics in this zone right here, and I didn't bother to flag them all because it just would have been a mess. But they were only on in the opening number, and then we turned them off and got rid of them. And after we turned them off, there was that. I was like, what the heck is that? It's probably something to do with all this TV and some other stuff further away. See, you never really know without the calculator where these products are going to come from. That's TV white space. That's TV white space. Everybody's playing nicely now. I had in-ear monitors over here. Those two red things are some of my comms that are intermittent as people key up and key off. And I had Alicia Keys on an in-ear monitor right there. I had her back up on this channel over here, nestled right up close to television, but it worked. And so, you know, this is real life in big events with lots of mics. We had about 60 frequencies on this show. And we're at a point in the show where I'm not looking at them all right now, and comms go way up here. You know, this stops at 660, and I had a bunch of that electrosonic stuff in the other show, and I had a bunch of comms north of 660. I wasn't looking at all of that right in this part of the show. I was really looking at executive microphones for that business meeting, and everything went really smoothly. So you go with what you know, you use the calculator, and then you scan and make sure that what you know is what's real.
Well, can I bring up something real quick about
Tom Stiles?
Just what you, a couple of things. Well, so you've got all these frequencies on a big show like this, and I think you kind of mentioned this, but so it's clear. From the time you walk in the building that morning and the previous day, all those transmitters are turned on and broadcasting all the time. So even though you may actually only use 1 or 2 wireless mics at a time out of 20, they're always on and always broadcasting, so that you're saving the space there.
Yes, I am saving the space.
Coordination, just to keep anyone else from wandering.
If anybody else is scanning, they're going to see that. It also lets me constantly wargame the system. I'm always listening to the audio from those mics, even if the transmitter's on the table right next to me. I have an O1V that's Dante'd into all my ULXD. I'm constantly soloing up these channels and listening to the audio. We haven't talked much about the audio in this presentation because it was really about the radio, but really the product is audio, and I'm listening to that at my station all the time. Best goes to mic somebody up. I'm listening to their conversation through that microphone the entire time. I'm constantly monitoring the audio while I'm looking at these scans and making sure that what I see is what I expect to see.
And you probably know this, but for reference, a couple times a year I work down at the convention center, the Microsoft Tech Ready convention, mm-hmm. working through the IOTC Stagehands Local, which has been engaged by the Freeman Company, who's doing AV for all this stuff. And so they now always have a frequency coordinator guy who's there mm-hmm. doing that stuff also. The interesting thing about his job is like he's doing a lot of different space. You're basically doing one show in one room, and he's doing one keynote plus a billion breakout rooms everywhere also.
And if those things are separated in time, they can coordinate as separate zones, and IAS will do that for you. If they're separated by sufficient space, you can start to break out zones. But you have to be careful with your transmit power when you start to do that if they're not also separated in time. If your keynote room is also going as a breakout, then you really have to look at your zone strategy more carefully. And the other thing about transmit power is that the higher your transmit power, the higher the amplitude of your intermod product, and the more they will add to each other. So you want to use the lowest transmit power that gets the job done because it keeps that fur manageable. And you can see it. You can see it. And if we go back to here, if I turn all these If I turn all these guys up to 20 or even 50 milliwatts, all this garbage just starts to build, and my signal-to-noise can actually go down because my receivers top out at what they're able to actually bring in, And so all I'm doing is adding noise by turning up my transmitters. And so at McCaw Hall, I have permanent antennas, diversity antennas in the proscenium arch pointed down, and one of them is biased a little into the house and one's biased a little bit upstage. And that gives me really good coverage of the apron playing area where these meetings tend to happen. But I rarely turn anything up above 10 milliwatts on my stage because the antennas are very close. They're in excellent location. And they're also far away from my racks, so I'm getting less noise when all of my transmitters are back on the table.
And how recently, because I only got hip to this recently, how recent is it that that you actually have individual control over over the power on the units?
Since UHFR, in the Shure world, since UHFR. And the UHFR body packs went to like 100 milliwatts. And people would just do it. And it'd be like, no, don't do it. Put your antenna in the right place and turn them back down. Your life will go better by using less power, and you'll use a lot less battery. Because those things will go 8 hours on low power, and they'll go 4 at high power. So, yeah, keep it under control.
Can we extrapolate a little bit on Tom's question where there's multiple rooms happening in a facility?
Mm-hmm.
You're in a single facility and have control and cooperation from people coming in to use your facility. If I'm doing a show at the Meydenbauer Center and I'm in room A and somebody else is in room B, and unaffiliated with the event that I'm doing, and somebody else is upstairs in some other rooms, and they're all using wireless mics.
Different rental vendors, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. You have to talk.
Yeah.
And the venue would do well to have a frequency coordinator who can have authority from the venue so that you're not all just fighting over the scraps.
Do you foresee that happening, that with these new rules?
Yes, I do. I see more and more venues getting into this business.
To do that.
Because it protects their business.
Yeah. Good. Thanks.
Yeah. So, you know, there might be a professional opportunity here for people who want to learn how to do this. So, in summary, and this goes back to your question, Dan, about multiple spaces, wargame it. Test it. Find out. Find out if your stuff can screw up the other guy. Find out if his stuff can screw you up. Put your transmitters in another room and go back to your rig and scan it. See what your signal to noise is. Go back to Staffo's little charts. Read the white papers. Figure out where you can get your equipment to work. Be creative. But don't take anything for granted. Make sure you keep those databases up to date. Look at them. Make sure you know your environment. Test your assumptions. Keep records. Track changes and buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
That presumes time and planning time.
I know.
As well as knowing that there's something else going on.
It is going to be harder to be a small player in this market.
Yeah.
No question about it.
Thanks.
You're welcome. This concludes my presentation.